With mounting horror, Jim had watched the final moment of the Het Gelukkige Meer's agony. A few of the crew still huddled on the capsized hull. Then some of the female convicts were creeping out of the open gun ports and shattered hatches. The crowds on the beach taunted them as they clustered on the wave-swept hull. When a woman was washed overboard and her chains pulled her under, there was an ironic chorus of laughter and cheers from the spectators. Then the ship's keel struck the sand, and the impact hurled most of the convicts over the side. As the ship was rolled and pummeled onto the beach by the waves, the crew leapt from the heavily listing deck into the sea. The water overpowered most of them. One or two drowned bodies were washed up on the beach, and the spectators dragged them up above the high water mark. As soon as it was evident there was no life in them, they threw them into an untidy pile and ran back to join the sport. The first of the survivors waded out through the surf and fell on his knees in prayerful gratitude for his escape. Three convict women were thrown ashore, clinging to a spar from the shattered rigging. It had supported them, despite the weight of their chains. The soldiers from the castle rushed waist-deep into the creaming surf to drag them out onto the beach and arrest them. Jim saw that one was an obese creature with flaxen hair. White breasts the size of a pair of Zeelander cheeses bulged out of her torn shift. Struggling with her captors, she screamed an obscenity at Colonel Kaiser as he rode up. Kaiser leaned out of the saddle, lifted his sheathed sword, and struck her a blow with the scabbard that knocked her to her knees. But she was still shrieking as she looked up at him. There was a livid purple scar down her fat cheek. The next blow with the steel scabbard dropped her face down into the sand, and the soldiers dragged her away. Desperately, Jim searched the open deck for a glimpse of Louisa, but he could not find her. The hull dragged itself free of the sand and began once more to drift closer. Then she struck again solidly and began to roll over. The surviving women slid down the listing deck and one after another dropped over the side and splashed into the green water. The ship now lay on her side. There were no living souls clinging to the wreck. For the first time, Jim saw the gaping hole through which the loose cannon had burst out. This opening was pointed to the sky, and suddenly a slim feminine form crawled out of it and came to her feet shakily on the rounded hull. Her long yellow hair was streaming with seawater and flapped heavily in the gale. Her tattered shift barely covered her coltish limbs. She might have been a boy, were it not for the full bosom under the rags. She gazed imploringly towards the crowds on the beach who jeered and mocked her. "Jump, gallows bait!" they hooted. "Swim! Swim for us, little fish!" Jim focused the telescope on her face, and it did not need the sapphire flash of blue from the eyes in her gaunt and pale face for him to recognise her. He sprang to his feet and ran down the back slope of the dune to where Drumfire stood patiently. He lifted his head and whinnied when he saw Jim coming. As he ran, Jim stripped off his clothing and left it strewn behind him. Hopping first on one leg and then the other, he pulled off his boots until he wore only his cotton breech clout. He reached the stallion's side, undid the girth, and let the saddle drop into the sand. Then he swung himself onto Drumfire's bare back, urged him up the slope, and halted him on the crest. He looked out with dread that he might find that the girl had been washed off the wallowing hull. His spirits surged when he saw that Louisa was still perched there as he had last seen her, but the ship was breaking up under the brutal hammer blows of the surf. He lifted his right arm high and waved at her. Her head jerked as she looked towards him, and he saw the moment that she recognized him. She waved back at him wildly, and although the wind smothered the sounds, she mouthed his name. "Jim! Jim Courtney!" "Ha-ha!" he called to Drumfire, and the stallion leapt forward down the slope of loose white sand, going back on his haunches to balance as they slid down the dune. They hit the beach at a gallop, and the crowd of onlookers scattered in front of Drumfire's flying hoofs. Kaiser spurred his horse forward as if to intercept them. His plump, clean-shaven face was stern, and the ostrich feathers in his hat were blowing like the white surf. Jim touched Drumfire's flank with his toe, and the stallion swerved past the other horse, and they raced down towards the sea. A broken wave came tumbling to meet them, but its main force was spent. Without hesitation, Drumfire gathered his 4 feet under his chest and leapt over the leading edge of white water as though he were jumping a fence. When he splashed in on the other side, it was already too deep for his hooves to find the bottom. He began to swim, and Jim slid off his back and wove his fingers into the horse's mane. With his free hand on the stallion's neck, he guided him towards the wallowing wreck. Drumfire swam like an otter, his legs pumping in a mighty rhythm beneath the surface. He had gone 20 yards before the next tall wave struck and burst over them, submerging them. The girl on the wreck stared in horrified fascination, and even the watchers on the beach were silenced as they searched for a sign of them in the swirling aftermath of the wave's passage. Then a shout went up as their heads appeared through the foam. They had been washed back half the distance gained, but the stallion was swimming strongly, and the girl could hear him snorting the seawater from his nostrils with each breath. Jim's long black hair was sleeked down his face and shoulders. She could hear his cries faint in the thunder of waters. "Come, Drumfire! Ha! Ha!" They swam on through the icy green seas, swiftly making up the distance lost. Another wave came in, but they swam up and over the crest, and now they were almost halfway across the gap between shore and ship. The girl stood up and balanced precariously on the heaving hull, gathering herself for the leap over the side. "No!" Jim yelled up at her. "Not yet! Wait!" He had seen the next wave humping up against the horizon. This one dwarfed all those that had come before it. Its cliff-like face seemed to be carved from solid green malachite, laced with white spume. As it came on in ponderous majesty, it blocked out half of the sky. "Hold hard, Louisa!" Jim shouted, as the mighty wave crashed into the ship and smothered her. It left her submerged in its wake. Then it gathered itself again like a predator pouncing on its prey. For long seconds, horse and rider swam up its curling front. They were a pair of insects trapped on a wall of green glass. Then the face of the wave toppled forward, curling over them and falling in a solid avalanche as it crashed down on itself with such weight and power that the men on the beach felt the earth jump beneath their feet. Horse and rider were gone, driven so deeply under that surely they could never surface again. The watchers, who only seconds before had clamoured to see the storm prevail and its victims perish, now stood smitten with dread, waiting for the impossible to happen, for the heads of that gallant horse and his rider to reappear through the wild surf. Then the water subsided around the ship, and as it poured away they saw the girl still lying on the hull, the loose ropes of the rigging holding her from being sucked over the side. She lifted her head, and with the water streaming from her long hair, searched desperately for any sign of horse and man. The seconds drew on and became minutes. Another wave crashed in, then another. But they were not as high and powerful as the one that had buried horse and rider.